This is Mark Schneidman. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Mark, hey, how's it going, guy? This is Lou and Tabby. And you know that property that we were in escrow for that hadn't quite closed, but you gave us the key anyway, and we could burn some sage and get in a groove? Well, we kind of ran into a problem.
Just a minute, dude. I just got on the phone.
The fire kind of got out of hand. And
hey, dude, give me some space.
Anyhow, could you post bail at county jail?
Welcome. Thank you for tuning in to your local realtor. I'm here with Talon on loan from the California Association of Realtors. Don't forget the bees. If you have bees buzzing around your house, don't exterminate them. Call the Bee Rescue Hotline at 699-6229. A friend of mine actually called me. He wants a hive and a bee for his new orchard he put in. Can't get them. 699-6229 or sbba.org. Or call me. Hey, text me. Maybe my friend will buy them from you. 452-2428. So, as usual, the four segments, the weekly multiple listing sales update, tracking median prices weekly. And during the second segment, we're going to go year-to-date numbers, median prices, average, what's been selling year-to-date, first 48 weeks of the year, and compare it to years past since 2009. Got a little motoring with Mark. We've got my mulch story, maybe a rat, interesting facts about rats, architectural word of the week, pun of the week, 10 wettest cities, all kinds of things we won't get to. But switching things around a little bit, the first segment is my guest, Redlands Jeff, Jeff from Redlands, landlord Jeff, my buddy since 1977. We met at UCSB. And he returned to his hometown, Redlands, and started building a little real estate, I don't want to call it empire. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Jeff.
Hey, Mark, thanks. I love the word empire. I don't know, it reminds me of Napoleon or something.
Well, but then you live in the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know what to call it, but you own several buildings, total of 28 rental units. It became your full-time job. You busted your hump working nights at the beginning to keep going during the day. You fixed everything. You did everything yourself. You scrapped and saved, and now you're reaping the rewards. In fact, that's going to be the topic today. Can a landlord retire? And what do? You start delegating. We'll talk about what Jeff's been doing. But before we jump into that, I've been talking to Jeff about what I've been doing with my landscaping, and Jeff has these folks that know him and they don't know real estate, and they look at him as a guy who doesn't have a job, and so it always infuriates him because he knows how hard he worked to get where he is, and he still has to work. So, a day in the life of a landlord, Jeff. As a matter of fact, when I said that prior to the show, Richard said that sounds like a Stephen King novel. And then I thought of the time when you came on and had that horrible story about one of your tenants who committed suicide and all the sadness that goes on. People die natural causes. They get murdered. They divorce as suicide. And then you mentioned something about your sixplex.
Yeah, I bought a sixplex down in Redlands. And right after we closed escrow, an older couple who had actually been there for 10 years prior to me purchasing the building, he apparently had a heart attack in the kitchen, and
died right there in the kitchen.
Yeah, and ambulance was called in, and fortunately I wasn't there to actually see all of the stuff, but it does happen. And I remember just being really moved by that life's harshnesses are...
Yeah, yeah. And it's your place. You're connected to it.
Yep.
We don't go on to rehash the girl who committed suicide, but her, you really knew, and you knew what was going on, and you were more intimately involved with her. And then the tragedy of a young girl's suicide, that makes it even worse. But you connect with your tenants. You pick your tenants. You're the guy that picks the tenants. You have people now delegating. You delegate work, rather, to a couple of people. And God bless you. You're up in Paradise, California. Your mom died. And you get a call.
I get a ridiculous little call. To backtrack, I have a gal who I've given a discount at one of my apartments. She's been with me for about 15 years. Very trustworthy, sweet gal. And she had forgotten that I had gone up north to take care of my mother's affairs, my 94-year-old Marie, sweet Marie. And I get a call while we're in the midst of doing some really important stuff. And she goes, yeah, Tori in apartment 3, the pull chain in her ceiling fan. You know, it's this $3 part, and she can't get a hold of Lewis, my repairman. He's not answering his phone. And I guess what I'm getting at, it's the minutia of the landlording business, whether it's like it's going to rain tonight, turning off the sprinklers.
Oh, yeah, you tried to get hold of your gardener?
Yeah, and I got a voicemail, which means nothing. And so so I'm on my way to Redlands, and I'll turn off all the automatic sprinklers at each place. And I do it happily. You know, it's just...
Yeah, I know you're not complaining,
right.
But people don't get it. And sure, you know what? You don't have to turn off the water. You could just let it go, but you don't want to be the guy when people walking by going, oh, why is this guy watering his lawn in the middle of a rain? You're just too... You have too much pride.
Yeah, in the middle of a drought, right?
In the middle of a drought, exactly.
Right. And and to take it one step further, I just had all of the water coolers weatherized. I mean, you clean them, you lube them up, you double-check everything, and I just got a call about an hour before you called, and two of the water coolers are dripping. It's because my repairman, he just bent the float down rather than go shut off the valve. And so it seemed okay for a second, but here again, there's always time to do it right. And they've been leaking since Thanksgiving, I just found out. So for me, that's like, you know, pouring salt on the wound. I like things done, you know, good enough sometimes isn't good enough.
I never heard of water coolers. You know, Jeff lives about, Redlands is about an hour west of Palm Springs, so it's out there in the desert. It gets hot. Some units have air conditioning, but some have these water coolers. And I think I saw one in Santa Barbara once. I think it's a great idea. It's not as expensive to run as AC, and it just kind of does a good job. How was your Thanksgiving? Do you have any leftovers?
<It's a brutal>.
Don't go there. He was telling me the story. But this, the kind of guy Jeff is, his daughter came, a bunch of people came over, and his daughter didn't get any leftovers, so he remade the garlic mashed potatoes this morning to bring her a dish that would have been left over. You're amazing, Jeff. It's no wonder neither of us can sleep at night. So we're worrying about someone's leftovers they didn't get, so you got to make it right. I love it. Let's get into this this topic, can a landlord retire? You have this gal for a long time. Now, she's been with you 15 years, but she hasn't really been doing this kind of management for the last 15 years. That's more recent, right?
Yeah, that's been for about the last 5 years.
Right, and that was a big step for you because
I remarried and I moved to another city. So I'm a longtime Redlands guy, but now I live in Yucaipa. And even though it's only about maybe 15, 17 minutes, it'd be like driving from Goleta to Carpinteria.
Well, no, or maybe from Santa Barbara. It depends. Yeah, from Santa Barbara to Carp, depending on where you live. But
okay. But
my point is, though, to get you, delegated and and that kind of frees up some of your time. But as your examples you gave, you're always in it. And then you got this repair guy who's been with you many years.
Yep.
And so we've talked about you, quote unquote, not retiring so much, because you always are going to be a guy that's going to pick the tenants. That's your forte. But, you know, you just try to find good people to delegate more and more. And so, but you still have to be there. You're always there.
Yeah.
So can a landlord retire? And you were exploring some alternatives to your existing business and how you could get out, but still
make, you know. By the way, as you were speaking, I was reminded we were out with another friend of yours who happens to also be named Jeff. And I remember we were at a restaurant, and he mentioned, landlording, real estate, it's an old man's game. It doesn't start to pay off until you're old. Now, in my case, I'm 61, and my finance guy, a very progressive, very nice guy who takes complicated financial issues and retirement planning, he seems to simplify them. And so I've been with him for a few years now. And he put on a seminar down in San Diego called the Silver-Haired Tsunami. And basically, when you look at the statistics, there literally are millions of people about my age or a little older who have lots of places, threeplexes, fourplexes, duplexes, that are paid off, and they're tired of running them. And so he collected a few of these kind of real estate gurus, and don't you love that word, guru? And I don't know what it is about it. I always go to that expert guru thing.
So we have two words for today, empire and guru.
Anyway, I went with a buddy who also owns about a dozen single-family houses, because we've been talking about what's the next step, you know, and he has two sons, I have a daughter, and I have two beautiful grandchildren. Whatever I do, I got to make sure it's inheritable. And so that is a whole nother chapter. So I go with my buddy down to this seminar, and of course they have real estate agents whose expertise is multi-unit, selling multi-unit places. And they show how you can get more value and get the most money and how to market them. It's very interesting. But the last guy, the last speaker of the day, he was a 1031 exchange specialist, but not a general specialist, basically just real estate REITs. So in other words, his whole thing is, rather than turn to a property management company where you give up 10% of your gross, rather than have to settle in for their licensed and bonded guy who's getting paid $45 an hour to do your repairs, very expensive repairs.
And you still have the liability. You're still the owner.
Exactly. What he's saying is you 1031 exchange into these, and then he gave examples. Like you would be 1/200th of an owner of an ESPN building. You would be owning a little slice of a pie for a doctor's office or a string of clinics or a possible airport down in Austin, Texas. And these supposedly are recession-proof. Now, I know...
Because they're going to be renting to companies that will never fail, for example, like Enron.
Exactly. Too big to fail. And so it's enticing, because then he starts talking about you avoid capital gains because you're 1031 exchanging. This is one of the huge things that keep people from selling. You're going to give up a big chunk right there. And so I have to discuss it with my daughter and my wife, and we have to figure out, you know, what is the next move. And so far, by just paying for cell phones and giving this gal a monthly stipend and reducing her rent, it seems to be working okay. But like I say, I'm still hands-on in the minutia, and I worry about write-offs, and I worry about, is the tree trimmer licensed and bonded if he falls off the ladder? You know, so there's all that liability like you're talking about.
Right. We were talking about LLCs recently.
Exactly.
So you are and have been hands-on. I'm talking with my longtime friend, Redlands Jeff, not to be confused with Santa Barbara Jeff, who Jeff mentioned, who coined the phrase real estate is an old, or landlording is an old man's game, because sometimes it takes a long, long time to pay off. And God bless him, Santa Barbara Jeff owns... I can't even tell you the number of units he owns. But what were we talking about? I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
So you're rolling, you know, you're in a groove, you're a hands-on kind of guy, you've let go a bit, you've delegated a little more. Could you you know, emotionally, you're tied to these buildings. One is your first sixplex you bought from your parents. You lived in that building. Can you let go and trust this vague, nameless entity to take your life savings, your entire career, put it all on black? I mean, have you thought of, you know, are you nervous? Or, and now that I put it this way, you must be really nervous. Or have you thought about maybe doing half?
You know what? It's funny. My finance guy said, you know what you could do? You could do it one building at a time and see how it feels. So, for example, I don't know if I should talk numbers with you, but I have, let's go back to that sixplex that we've already talked about. I only owe $98,000 against it. And I actually had it up for sale a couple of years ago. I was involved in a big real estate deal, the bungalow project.
Oh, you were considering, right, you're going the opposite way. You were going to buy units, you were going to sell and buy units to kick in your depreciation again, because now you really don't have the benefit of depreciation because you've owned them so long. And you were going to stay in the business and actually maybe even get deeper. You were buying a project that wasn't even as well maintained. So, right. Yes, so you had it on the market for sale. So you owe 98, it's worth roughly?
Well, 2 years ago, it actually sold. I had an accepted offer of $750,000.
You were in escrow, subject to you getting this replacement property, but you bailed out on it 2 years ago. So it's probably,
I'd say 800.
It's probably, say 800, whatever. I don't know the market down there.
So minus 98. So you
and don't forget commissions.
Dollars equity in that one building. And so then what my guys do, they take $700,000. They say, well, let's see what we can do. And like, for example, here is, I am a member of the Apartment Owners Association. Don't mean to give them a plug, but here's an ad. I saw this just yesterday. A big, bold print. It says, tired of dealing with tenants? Sick of cap rates below 6%? You be the bank. Invest in trust deeds and get 9 to 12% annual return. And so this is kind of a encapsulated version of what we've been discussing. There's other people that do this. And everything is secured by a trust deed that's linked to real estate. And
you avoid the capital gains.
Yep.
Man, and that's a lot of money. You know, well, we won't do this now on the air. We just got a few minutes left. I know you have to, you have another job, Grandpa Jeff.
Yes.
And you're going to pick up your granddaughter, Stella. So I'm watching the clock. Otherwise, we'd take a commercial break and come back and keep going. But that's a lot of equity. That's a ton of equity. And we could
take 9 or 12% into that $700,000, $800,000 equity. Now, and that's your monthly check. You just get a check, and there's no
right.
There's no tenants. There's no nothing.
Well, but not $800,000 equity. Say take off the $100,000 and then commissions and closing costs. So, you know, let's say it's $650,000 in equity.
Sure.
So then you get 9% on that for how long, maybe? And then, but what we could do talk about off the air is what exactly your current income is and expenses, and we can calculate your rate of return currently. Or have you already done that? Do you know exactly what your rate of return is by owning that? Usually with people like you, it's not as great as it would be, certainly earning 9% on $650,000. But it's not chicken feed either. You know, you had when you first got in the business, you met these people down there called the Cleavers, and they were kind of they were helping you. They were the, as Jeff said, you know, landlords an old man's game. They were in their 80s when you met them, 70s, 80s?
Yeah, 80s.
And he lived, and he had all his properties. Kept them all, kept going, kept managing.
And they had a house out in Palm Springs. They had another house down in San Clemente. And they were just the most humble, salt-of-the-earth people. They weren't ostentatious at all. They just they had a real good work ethic, always positive.
You could give up a ton of income and take a property like that and sell it and buy a home in Santa Barbara, which I could manage for you as a rental, do your 1031 exchange. And then you could end up retiring in Santa Barbara and move into it later.
You know, something about, I just don't think I'm going to be able to pay enough, though.
Right. We'll get you a one-bedroom or studio for $12 million. It's 500 square feet. You'll love it. Because remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. And you know, your life now, as much as you love Santa Barbara and your lovely wife, Michelle, loves Santa Barbara, you've got your you know, she's got two sons there. You've got your daughter, your grandkids, and all of your ex-wives, they would miss you.
What's that about the what?
All of your ex-wives, they would miss you.
Oh, that's right. Thank you so much.
Hey, Jeff. God, this is always great when you're on, and this was particularly good because I think a lot of people, you know, whether they own just a condo that they are maybe tired of managing, or they own a duplex or a few things, it's something that a lot of people wish they could face. I wish I had your problems, Jeff. Great, great to talk to you.
Hey, this was a lot of fun. Thanks, Mark.
All right, make it a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Redlands Jeff and Santa Barbara Jeff, my two buddies, each owning real estate, and both did quite well. Santa Barbara Jeff, an insane number of units, so doing, you know, it's beyond belief what he manages and makes. But, I mean, I don't know what he makes, but when you own more than 200 rental units, 250 ballpark rental units, you're going to own a 95-foot yacht. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. We'll take a quick break, come back with year-to-date stats, numbers, medians, average, through the first 48 weeks of the year and compare it back to 2009. And remember, Velcro is a ripoff.